Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3. Test, 1, 2, 3.
Call the meeting to order. Just wanted to wait for all the crowds to fill into the gallery. I acknowledge the Kaurna people are traditional custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. Everyone is advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask if any elected members are aware at this stage of any possible declaration of interest. Councillor Pfeiffer has indicated to me there may be in relation to the Audit Committee section of the committee's report. Anything else?
That's correct, Your Worship. So it's just in relation to the reappointment of that one member where my conflict lies, but I don't have a conflict with the rest of the item. So if there's a possibility of splitting the item, I'd be able to be in for the rest of it.
That is the intention of the Chair. Councillor Gard?
Notify my proximity to the Secret Park development. It's probably not a conflict in this particular item, but I'll leave that to people to decide, perhaps.
It's really for you to decide.
Yes, I'm happy to stand out there.
Very well. Thank you for letting us know. Any others? Then we proceed seeking taking first the confirmation of the minutes for the General Council meeting held on 8th of September. Moved Councillor Tilpa, seconded Councillor Westwood. Is that carried? All those in favour, raise your hands. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, in relation to the minutes of the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee meeting, I note that there may be a variation. Let's just look on page 17 of the agenda. The intention of the minutes was to, in relation to the KPI item, was for there to be clarification, not, of course, to change the KPIs, which would require us coming back to council. So it was really a matter of interpreting the somewhat concise way in which they had been described. There is a possible amendment floating around. I'm just seeking clarification from staff on the process here, because we have minutes which haven't been accepted by the CEO Review Committee. How can this council then accept the minutes, and indeed how can they accept an amended version of the minutes, even if the amendment makes them more correct? Ms. Jarrett?
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. This is a minutes of the meeting of a committee. It is the committee itself that would need to amend those minutes if they're not correctly recording the actual outcomes or the discussion of the meeting. So the council itself is not actually about adopting these minutes as a true and correct record of proceedings, because it's the committee itself that would do that and therefore make the amendment through a resolution of that nature. What this council can do, though, in actually noting these minutes as a record of the proceedings, is note the feedback from those present at the meeting, if council so wishes to actually record that feedback in these minutes.
I'm not sure how much of a difference it makes, but Ms. Jarrett, could you advise, would it make a difference if the motion was to note the minutes rather than confirm them?
I think that the council noting the minutes is actually the appropriate course of action rather than confirming the minutes.
And, Ms. Jarrett, would they then be brought back to council after the committee itself has confirmed the minutes?
Certainly, if the committee confirms the minutes and makes an amendment to those minutes in its confirmation, those minutes could be brought back to council for noting again.
Well, subject to what you think, members, that's what I'd recommend. Councillor Crossland?
Can we defer the item until the next meeting rather than note incorrect minutes and then amendment minutes?
Ms. Jarrett?
Certainly that is an option. Once these minutes are actually taken back to the next Chief Executive Officer Review Committee meeting and so amended by that committee, this item could be adjourned until such time as that process concludes.
I mean, there's no harm in it, given that there's no... It would be different if there was a recommendation arising from it, but there isn't. So in a sense, it's for information. There's no urgency, so let's put that off. I know that the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee is not planning to meet until early December, but nonetheless, there's no harm in deferring it. So do we need a motion, to adjourn it until the next meeting, until after the next Chief Executive Officer Review Committee meeting? So moved Councillor Gard, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Communications. Do we need a report that the report's been noted? They appear in pages 19, 21, 22 of the agenda. Moved Councillor Telfer. Seconded Councillor Hutchinson. There's a question. Councillor Hull.
It's page 22, the CEO's meeting with Luigi Rossi. I'm always interested in Luigi and his activities in the city. I'd like to know what that was all about, please.
Mr. Scull.
Through you, Your Worship. We went in to talk about the Flinders University alternative proposal for the Darlington roadworks, and we met with the State Coordinator General, and he brought with him Mr. Rossi and also another gentleman who's actually in charge for DEPTI of the roadworks. And the purpose of the meeting was actually for them to let myself and the CEO of Mitcham know that the tender that was going out would consider both the state option and also the alternative that's been put forward by Flinders University, and that's what we discussed when the Vice-Chancellor came into the last council meeting.
Supplementary question. The so-called confidentiality of the Flinders proposal, now that it's out there that there is a Flinders proposal, how much can we actually talk about that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's no longer confidential at all. In fact, it's public knowledge, and certainly doesn't need to be kept in confidence that the Flinders alternative is being considered with connections between East and West, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, well, Mr. Mayor, it's welcome news, but in future, can we be advised once there has been an agreement or an understanding that the matter is no longer confidential? Because it's unfair that we have all this information and are unable to discuss it in our communities.
That's true. It was presented to us as confidential, so
yeah.
That's a fair request. We can just ask that staff be mindful of it. I don't think we need to do any more than that, but it's a point well made. The other point I'd like to make in relation to the reports before we vote on them, I note that I met with developers who have intentions for an aged care facility on the former Dover Gardens primary site. I accepted their request to write an in-principle support letter for the purpose of them putting in a federal funding application. but I made it very clear that that was subject to the usual planning processes and particularly to preservation of the amenity of current residents. From the plans they showed me, it looked as if they would be able to achieve that. But if it was helpful to their funding application without making any commitment on behalf of the city, I thought it was an appropriate thing to do. Certainly for use would have some more aged care facilities in the area.
Mr. Mayor, if you hadn't read my email I sent this afternoon, I'm sure they'll be tickled pink.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be tickled pink.
Thank you.
Yes. It's a corporate joke. I put that to the council. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. There being no Youth Advisory Council update or deputations or petitions, etc., we go to corporate reports for decisions.
A moment, Mr. Mayor. The matter of members' reports is not on the agenda. You haven't changed it formally yet. I just wonder why it's no longer on the agenda.
I believe that's been done administratively. It
yes.
doesn't need a motion. I beg your pardon, there is a reference to elected members, but what we're not doing now is noting reports where there is zero presented.
Sure.
But it's up to any member to present as much as they wish in that written format.
Oh, right. Well, that's on the agenda tonight to discuss that.
Yes.
But until we've actually changed the rules, if you like, I do wonder why we haven't got the opportunity. We haven't made the decision yet.
Well, I think it may be a semantic point because when reports... Councillor Hull, are you saying that you want reports of nil to report for each elected member put into the agenda in the minutes? Councillor Hull, we don't have time this meeting. I don't think we've had time except for one meeting through the whole year to go around the chamber and give everyone 3 minutes to report on their latest community liaisons. So shall we just press on? Yep. Councillor Westwood.
I think it's a point of clarification. I think that Councillor Hull's after... And I believe that we actually agreed as members, even if it was informally, not to note the nil activities of each member. It may have been informal, I can't remember now.
All right, point to take.
But it has been agreed to, I'm pretty sure.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. I think we can proceed then to the Seacliff Park DPA on page 23. Councillor Guard's leaving the room. Councillor Crossland, are you moving?
Can I move the recommendation as is, please?
Very well. Did you wish to speak to that?
Just briefly, this is a welcome development for this particular area. It's something that both myself and Councillor Guard have wanted to achieve, and I know Councillor Guard has spent a lot of time and effort on speaking to residents about this very thing. The development approval is pretty much what the community is wanting, and we're hopeful that the development will actually move forward quite quickly, and I'd recommend all the others present to push this motion forward. Thank you.
That seconded, Councillor Hutchinson. Did you wish to speak? Any other speakers? All those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. Thank you for inviting Councillor Guard back in. Page 38, the Edwardstown Oval. This is the motion which provides an architectural brief as well as a series of motions to allow progress. It does provide funding for consultants to draw up and cost some detailed plans, after which we would then make a further decision, or we would be called upon to make a further decision whether or not to proceed to the next step, which would be to approve matching funding if we wished to go down the track of the Stronger Regions funding. So, does any member, given the brief has a mass of detail, I propose to allow some latitude for questions if people want to make that initially before any debate. But if people are happy to proceed, we'll just proceed. Councillor Telfer.
My question is around that whole issue that the motion tonight is about the architectural brief, but what about the whole building up of the economic brief as such for the National Stronger Regions Fund? Because it won't get across the line with a lovely architectural brief if there is not a National Regions Economic Fund that actually pulls it across the line.
Good question, Mr. Valentine.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just to advise on that, actually, the CEO has engaged Anne Petru, I think some of you may know, to assist with our application, and has a very good record, extraordinary record, in helping councils and others to help gain federal funding. And we're working a process through with her about what are those economic opportunities, and that she'll be assisting with us with that. And we'll be getting further input from her and others on that matter.
Questions?
So we're putting up money for the architectural brief, but we're not defining as such that economic brief.
Now, Mr. Valentine.
Thank you, Your Worship. The challenge with this project is going to be to mount a very good case for the economic development, as you rightly say. If, for example, we were going to try and pursue attracting other developments, be it office, be it something of that nature, we're going to have to pursue capital, the project gets bigger and bigger, take on more and more risk, and we'll be chasing capital to do a bigger development. And there'll be enormous risks associated with that. What we've discussed with Anne Petch to date is actually using the building extremely wisely to bring in economic development. So she cites a whole range of cases, and the last one she refers to that she did was Victoria Park in Perth, where she got set up a process with retired people from the community to come in and mentor younger people with their resumes and a whole host of things. And the very specific result, if I remember rightly, that 115 people come through and 83 got jobs, something of that nature. This is the sort of thing that the federal government wants to see. They also want to see NBN take up where that's possible, so we'll be exploring all of those avenues to get that economic benefit. But the brief is not structured in a way to build more and more bricks and mortar because you might get some more economic development out of it. It's actually about programs, connecting into other federal government funding sources because they want to see their funds and they want to see their policies implemented. And that's Anne's specialty, and that's what we'll build into the whole picture.
Very well. Councillor Blescu.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a question that Councillor Telfer asked, although it was very interesting and informative.
It was perhaps part of the question. The question was that, yes, are we not putting up an architectural brief or some structural brief in this motion or at the time of making this motion? But we're hearing that it is
sufficient, as I hear it, going with ANPESH and her developing an economic model without us having to do that in the form of a motion, and that by doing that we're not getting caught in costly risk.
Thank you, Your Worship. sorry, I'm slightly distracted and I'm reading two things at once and listening at the same time. Anne will have a pivotal role in working with the architectural brief and the consultants to build a picture of how do we make sure that the economic opportunities, this is linking in with federal government programs and funds, can be accommodated within this design and building. So, for example, there's in the brief the areas in terms of community space, bar, dining facilities. You can do a multitude of things in there if you design it well. So we're going to try and maximise the use of the building space rather than keep on building. So Anne and various others will be contributing to that design process, of the design outcomes, all of which is going to come back to Council for your consideration.
If I may add to that, as I understand it from discussions with staff and also Councillor Pfeiffer and the community, we're all on the same page that the intention is to build something that suits the purposes of the local sporting clubs and community, and from whatever results, we must, if we're going to succeed in the Stronger Regions funding application, we must piggyback onto that some economic function which helps disadvantaged people in the local area. So one of the things that, and I think Mr. Valentine's just said this, one of the things is to avoid building something just for the purpose of some economic benefit. So we don't build a medical centre and then hope someone moves into it. We build what people need for that community and that sporting precinct, and look at what we can then do with a shiny new building, with a new meeting place, with a new kitchen, to attract some sort of economic activity. And that will be happening parallel, or investigation of that possibility will be happening parallel to this brief coming back with at least two costed proposals as to the building form itself. Is that a fair rephrasing of the situation? Other questions, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, so looking at the redevelopment, obviously we're improving existing facilities, but I wonder if the big ticket item is the velodrome, in that how much economic benefit of having a velodrome there already does it give to Edwardstown and the local area? Because technically if the velodrome is lost, all that funds coming into Marion would be lost. If the velodrome and the facilities are improved, it's the only velodrome in, is it South Australia or southern suburbs? If it is brought up to professional standard, again, that's surely going to attract some events to Marion and would be huge economic benefit. I'm just comparing with the economic benefit of even having something like the BMX, and I would imagine that you've got the same type of benefit for major cycling events. That would be my angle.
Certainly in terms of as we develop designs and as we build the case for the National Stronger Regions Fund submission, we'll be looking at all of those elements, and particularly the velodrome as well, the ability to grow that for the benefit of it.
All right. Well, looking for someone to move. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. First and foremost, I'd just like to actually acknowledge the work of our staff over the last fortnight. It's only a fortnight ago that we said, yes, let's get an architectural brief up and running, and they've done a hell of a lot in that time, considering there's always a bit of downtime for actually getting these reports into the system as well. Look, I have personally made quite a lot of comments on the original architectural brief that was circulated to us late last week. And there's been members of the Edwardstown Urban Management Committee who have also done the same. And whilst, look, there's a few technicalities, a few little bits and pieces that I'd like to see tightened up, it's the 80-20 rule, and I've got to say that, you know, we are very, very, very much further improved from what we had last week, and we've got a really nice tight architectural brief sitting in front of us, so I sincerely thank the staff for doing that. Look, in regard to the economic development side of it, it's critical for this grant that we firstly consider, this is actually part of the grant, you must consider the socioeconomic disadvantage in an area, and you must match the economic benefit that you are intending on providing to that. It has to be matched, has to be linked. One of the ideas that's been floating around is whether we can get a registered training organisation in there, possibly to run various courses for say unemployed people in the local area or something along those lines. It is the 9 to 5 Monday to Friday period where the site is least used. I'm not going to say unused because it is still used, but that's when it's least used. So it's a perfect opportunity for an organisation like that to actually come in and make some benefit out of it. Look, whilst this is, I mean, there are existing clubs there. This is, of course it is about the existing clubs, but this is about the long-term future of that site. And it's also about looking at the demographic changes that are occurring in that area in the next 20-odd years and making sure that we've got a facility that can actually can address the future need, not just the current need, but the future need. So, I mean, we might not have a football club there. It could be a lacrosse club. It could be who knows? It could be a soccer club. Whatever it is, it's a facility that's really, really good and will suit the purposes. It's flexible enough. It's future-proofed enough that it can actually suit the long-term ongoing purposes in there down the track. One of the other things that the committee in there is very keen on is actually having a governance change. So it's not just a bunch of amateurs sitting around once every 2 months actually making decisions. There is actually some sort of more formalised governance model and management model over the site, whether it be an external organisation like YMCA, who knows who it could be, but actually having some sort of formalised governance in there as well. I'll leave it at that, and I commend the motion. Thank you. Sorry, one more thing. I thought there was supposed to be a slightly amended point two there, John. It looks like it's the same wording.
Can staff help with the form of the motion which Councillor Pfeiffer is moving? So we're just typing up to put on display on the screen an extra paragraph. Are we? Replacement paragraph. Very well. So is that seconded? Councillor Telfer? Did anyone wish to speak? Councillor Hull?
Yeah, I had a question any of the administration that care to answer. If you were a betting man, what are the odds of this getting up and that we actually are putting $135,000 worth of ratepayers' money to a good applied use? What out of 10, what would you rate the chances of this flying?
Perhaps people at the front of the chamber could all hold up a card with a number out of 10, all right. Well, Mr. Skull wants to contribute.
Through the Chair, very hard to say, Councillor Holt, because it depends on the quality of the application that we put in. But I've learned from my last role that they're very harsh in their initial culling of all of these Stronger Regions Fund grant submissions that they put in. It has to be a very professional submission. It has to be fully costed. It has to show economic benefit and a benefit to the people in the region around the area that they're servicing. It has to show that the component parts are viable concerns going forward, so that there's a good governance model that oversees everything that's going on. It has to be sustainable. So I really don't think we can give an answer on this except to say that we're resourcing it to make it a 9 so that we've got a really good chance of doing it. Otherwise, it's probably not worth doing if you don't give it a good shot.
Councillor Holt?
In terms of the management proposals going forward, would that be emphasised, that this is actually going to be, going forward, a totally different management model going forward?
Perhaps I can speak to that one.
Like in flashing lights, I mean, like in...
Councillor Holt, perhaps I can speak to that one because I've been involved in discussions. Councillor Pfeiffer, to his credit, has been constructively talking to the local sports clubs for a long time now about better management of the site. At present, it's fair to say we've got too many different clubs going off in their own directions. Although there is an overarching committee, it tends to take that form where the club representatives each come and put the view from their club. And what we aim to get towards is some sort of management committee which takes a holistic view of the whole precinct and acts for the best interests of the whole rather than each divisive part. That was a point I made when I first met with the club's subcommittee working on this project back in May. And since then, I've formulated a position and put it to them, something that is yet to be explored, a position such that there would be an overarching committee with a changed constitution, so that quite clearly the responsibility of the committee members would be to the interests of the precinct as a whole, not to individual clubs. And what's more, I've suggested that all of the money generated by any of the facilities, whether it be bar, kitchen or hire of facilities, should come back to that central committee, and that central committee should be the tenant for the City of Marion and pay at least a proportion of the outgoings in terms of maintenance as well as the rent. Now, that's not quite the situation at the moment. The committee at the moment has subtenants, and so, for example, I think the football club pays 57% of the maintenance, and so council goes to the Edwardstown Oval, or the Edwardstown Soldiers Memorial Oval Committee Incorporated, to get the rent and or the maintenance money, and they then issue some sort of invoices or collect money from the different clubs. We really need to get beyond that, and I see the force in your question there. And it may even be a condition that council wishes to place on the application going forward, notwithstanding our motion a couple of weeks ago, because it does need to be sorted out. And indeed, the prospects of a successful application, if the governance issues aren't sorted out, are probably negligible.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure whether it's in the report, but the very point you mentioned about emphasising that point, I'm not sure whether it's actually clear in the current recommendation. Now, you know, if there was maybe a dot point six, that would suggest that, you know, this is all subject to a total reform of the management structure of the site. That would make me feel a lot more comfortable about it. Not only that, Mr. Mayor, speaking to the motion now, this could actually be a derivative of this process. This $135,000, if you like, could be the creation of a template that can be applied right across the city. So, you know, I would welcome another dot point that highlights this point, if it's necessary, and go forward.
Councillor Holt, now you've still got some speaking time left because these have been questions, but can I say that this is something that is being worked on as we speak? Normally, one would hope, as council, you would want a proposal coming back to you with all of the governance issues sorted, all of the economic impact issues sorted, and the design issues sorted. I don't mean finalised, but at least in a form that we can support in further investigation. That hasn't happened here because of the time frame. It is simply because we've got a January at the latest time frame for round three funding. Councillor Holt's recognised quite rightly there is a risk because we could be spending money down the consultant drain and end up not having a successful proposal. But the reason that the architectural brief's coming to council tonight is to get that process underway. Because if we, that's the one that may take the most time, that's the one that needs to be sorted while other things are happening. So, if you wanted to amend the motion, Councillor Hull, get something in writing and get it up to us right now. Alternatively, you could simply leave it to staff, Councillor Pfeiffer and myself, and the local community to make progress on that governance issue. I can assure you that's the intention, but of course you're quite at liberty to move an amendment. That's fine. Now, Councillor Appleby, just while that's being sorted out, has raised a point of order with me after, or in between meetings, which is quite a reasonable thing to do, about the moving of amendments. We still haven't really solved this. I think the way that I deal with amendments is actually the most practical way of doing it. But the regulations do suggest that after an amendment has been moved, everyone who wishes to can speak to that amendment and then the amendment is voted on. The practical problem that arises is that if you've spoken on the amendment, you're also taken to have exercised your opportunity to speak to the original motion. So that's why I tend to have the voting on the amendment come at the end of the debate. But the regulations imply, they're not explicit, but they imply they should deal with an amendment, if necessary, deal with another one, and then have the final vote, obviously, at the end of the debate. Now, one would think if you go through that process, you're not going to have any elected speakers left in the chamber. But I propose to adopt the Appleby manoeuvre in dealing with the amendment, just so members know. Councillor Hull has presented a written amendment, and if that could be, well, members can read it as it comes up on the screen. That the council's support of this proposal was subject to a full review of the management structure at this site.
Any suggestion of wordsmithing won't offend, Mr. Mayor?
Well, why don't... There is a... I can see Ms. Jarrett going into contortions in assessing the issue without saying anything. And what I'd suggest is that the council support a full review of the management structure at this site. I mean, because if we pass the motion, it's not going to be subject to itself, you see? So it would be more sound to support a full review and send a message that way.
Mr. Mayor, I hear what you're saying. The main thing is to send a message to Canberra that we're onto this and we want to make it work as much as they do. So.
And I can assure you the governance issue will be revisited. So for staff, Councillor Hull was changing that to that the council support, delete, a full review of the management structure at this site. Thank you. Question from Councillor Gard.
The question is whether we should consider putting some time frame or correlation with... I mean, that statement implies an immediate review of the structure.
Oh, yes. Well, what if we put in... Councillor Hull, did you have the word immediate in there?
Absolutely.
That's what you want. Or by a certain time before...
Supports an urgent review, an urgent full review.
Yeah. Correlating with the new development.
Well, that stands to reason that we're doing that urgently as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Been a bit flexible, but have you finished your contribution, Councillor Howell? Thank you. Other speakers for or against? Is there a seconder for the amendment, Councillor Blaskew? Any other speakers? Then we'll vote on the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. I then give the opportunity to Councillor, well, I'll give the opportunity to any member who hasn't spoken to speak to the amended motion. Councillor Gard?
I'm sorry, no, I just wanted to make a general statement about the motion at large, if I may. Just to make the point that we are talking about, when we look at feasibility, we speak of needs of the local community. I think there's more to it than just the needs of the local community, and I think there's more to it than existing needs. And I say that because, and I'm going to use the M word again, from a marketing point of view, you would look at a project like this in keeping with the ability to create need as well as to meet existing need. And to that end, here's where the point about local versus non-local community comes in, because the Edwardstown Memorial Oval is in a very, very useful strategic position for the southwest in general, in that it's very close to the future north-south corridor as it develops, even before it's finally developed. And it's very close to the Seaford line, which is now extended. I think those two things in itself, plus the fact that there is the Todd concept in mind for the area, all ought to come into play as far as the feasibility studies are concerned, because the movement of people is what the government, movement of people by public transport and by new infrastructure is what the state government is driving at. And I think one of the most important things behind that is not just a matter of having a nice new long railway line and a nice new corridor, it's where that line and the corridor are going to take people. And Edwardstown Memorial Oval, when you think about it, is on its own as to the proximity of that sort of facility right along the Seaford line. And indeed, most of the north-south corridor that is south of Anzac Highway. So I just put that up as some value added that I feel should be looked at in the process of the feasibility study.
Thank you, Councillor Gard. Then I invite Councillor Pfeiffer, if necessary, to close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, and I thank Councillor Gard as well for those very strategic comments. The only other site that I can think of that's remotely similar in proximity to those sort of facilities and those sort of transport options is Goodwood Oval. There's not many others that are in that area that are comparable. Look, in regard to the actual amendment, this committee is enthusiastic to see change. I mentioned that before, but I re-emphasise this. I think, look, this could well be a really nice template for future governance models. We might be able to reuse this. We might be able to carbon copy it elsewhere, as Councillor Hull mentioned. The one thing in terms of, there's obviously the two options that we're asking a architect to look at for us. Option A, which is a complete bulldoze and redevelop, and option B being a bit of a retrofit. In terms of a governance model like what has been discussed, it would be more challenging with a retrofit when you still have a bowls club and you still have a bowls club building, and it might be challenging to actually bring that all under a single umbrella management. I'm open to seeing what the architect can come up with, but it's just something that's been cooking in the back of my head that it could be a little bit harder to do with a two building option. And look, furthermore as well, I thank Councillor Crossman for his comments. This is this is a really strategic site. Anna Mears did all of her rehabilitation cycling here after her big fall and after she broke her neck and her back. It is a really, really good little velodrome. I get out there on a Sunday afternoon. It's great fun. But not on my skateboard. I do that in my own street. But it is a really, really good site. It is a good site for track cyclists. It's the only usable outdoor velodrome in the state since Port Adelaide Enfield mucked theirs up. And look, during the summer, I highly encourage you, get down there on a Friday night. The summer series cycling is just something else. It is nuts down there. It is really, really exciting. If you ever want to see real peak cycling occur. Now, look, we have the other sports there as well. They're wonderful. They do a great job. Peak cycling, when it's done really, really well around a proper velodrome, it's just something else. Get down there and have a look.
Unanimously. Sorry, carried by majority. The next motion we're dealing with concerns community energy opportunities. I note that Councillor Pryor is very passionate about making progress with this issue, but he couldn't be here tonight due to illness. I'm looking for someone to move. Councillor Hull and seconded Councillor Valescu. Is there a question?
There's a point of order about the motion. There's been a previous motion that's already directed how that money be spent, and that directed that it be spent on renewable energy, whereas this motion, points 2 and 3, direct that it basically be spent on reports and meetings instead.
I'll ask Ms. Jarrett to speak to that. Yes, we're just going to have a look at the previous resolution.
Mr. Mayor, could I just highlight that maybe as a matter of ongoing process, that the motions that the originating motion be part of the report?
Normally it's referred to in the report, but and sometimes you won't want the entire report, but is the previous relevant motion not repeated in the report? Well, I think Councillor Hull's making a good point. Can we simply leave it to staff to take that on board? I'd say most of the reports where there's a previous relevant motion generally reproduce it, but perhaps not on this occasion. Comment or question, Councillor Valescu?
And I guess it's also up to us, if we find something out, that we actually let staff know about it as soon as possible, not just spring it at the beginning of the motion, because that way, I think, you know, then staff can look into it if any grey area can be clarified, so staff know whether to change it or whether they just proceed as is.
Yes. Thank you.
My understanding was that Councillor Appleby's correct. However, it did actually also have energy efficiency in that motion as well. But
I thought it was to be spent on alternative forms of electricity generation. Is that what you thought, Councillor Appleby?
I thought it was renewable energy, so solar panels, basically. But renewable energy, nevertheless, not meetings or forums or reports.
That is my recollection. Anyone got a computer? Well, look, I'm going to... I think the best thing we can do in the absence of any electronic assistance is to go on memory, and I'm going to uphold the point of order, and I say that... Parts 2 and 3 of the motion can't be passed without a rescission motion. Councillor Crossland, have you got a point of order or what?
It's just a question. Because on previous occasions, we've tried to avoid spending money, say, from one place to spending another. Couldn't we just amend the motion just to say it comes out of the Asset Sustainability Fund rather than keep trying to single out particular savings from one place to spending another?
Well, that probably wouldn't suit the purpose of that particular fund, but there, perhaps Mr. Mifsud can suggest some other source of payment, or, and indeed answer the question, what happens if we simply don't move 2 and 3, where would the money then come from?
Through the Chair, it's a good question. I do concur with your assessment in regard to the Asset Sustainability Fund. That's not consistent with the terms of reference or the points relating to that, so that wouldn't be quite right. That wouldn't be appropriate. However...
Mr. Mifsud, I'm saying what happens from a finance point of view if Council passed Motion 1 without identifying a source of funding for the motion? How would you find that money?
Through the Chair, we would still have to identify an appropriate funding source. We're coming up to the point in October where we'll be bringing the year-end accounts through to Council, and very close to that point in time when we do the first budget review, that provides Council with a reconciliation of our actual auditor results compared to the original budget that Council adopted. It is certain that we will have a large savings identified because the savings process that this Council has gone through was actually commenced back on 1 July last year. So we would be able to, subject to Council resolution, use a small portion of those savings.
So, Mr. Mifsud, could we avoid the drama here if that was moved in the form that said allocates approximately $5,000 from identified savings?
Yeah, through the Chair, I think that would be prudent to do that, absolutely.
Well,
and I'd just specify, sorry, through the Chair, if I could just specify, if we could just please make it very clear that identified savings resulting from the 2014-15 financial year, and that gives us black and white clarity then. Please.
Yes. And the same will apply in part three. We'll just make sure that that's displayed on the screen in front of everybody. People clear with that now? So I don't think we've actually had anybody move, have we?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, Councillor Hull moved, and yeah. Councillor Lescue seconded. It was a long time ago, sorry.
Yeah. Look, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move this motion, just speaking to it. You know, if you hadn't have actually taken that intervention, I was going to make this comment, that while Marion's burning right now, unnecessarily, you know, with unnecessary energy. One of the things that I learnt from a conference that I've only returned back from today is that there are savings out there that are way more considerable than the $15,000 we're talking about tonight. There's no doubt about it. The last time that I can recall this building here having a review was the late 1990s. Now, technology's actually advanced a lot since then, and, you know, the savings that we can make are considerable. At that conference, I learnt that with LEDs, for example, that is mentioned in the report, but it's just part of the action here. The payback on that is about 6-7 years, okay? If New South Wales was changed to LED tomorrow, all of the street lighting, they would save half their energy costs. In the report that is mentioned in here that we seem to have contributed to, I'm not sure where that money came from, but I won't go there, that the LGA, dare I say it, the LGA has facilitated, it indicates around about those terms in savings. When you consider that we have three libraries, a depot, now hopefully one of those libraries and the depot would be energy efficient,
I'd be interested to know whether we've got a good outcome there. But we've got an outdoor pool, which is a big energy consumer. If we're actually going to go into this, we need to actually have a plan, an ambition. Are we going to be carbon neutral, or are we going to have a situation where we look for reducing our carbon footprint by half or something? We have to set a target. And that's why I asked today as to what level of review are we doing. Is it a level one, which is basically sit down with the bills over a table and work out what your energy consumption is, or level two, where you go and start looking at the facilities, writing a report, or level three, where you actually have a case study or a business plan, I should say, to actually go forward to actually justify why you're spending all this money to replace all the lighting with new lighting, LED fluoros or whatever it might be. I'm pleased to hear that it is actually a level two, possibly a level three. Now, in this state, there are examples where we're way behind. We're starting at a very low base in Marion. It's been neglected. I'll go as far as saying that this issue has been neglected by the previous regime. I don't think our environment officer has been allowed to do her thing, or her department, and I'd like to see that department unleashed to do their magic and to bring returns to this council. The City of Adelaide is actually zero carbon, heading towards zero carbon. Now, they've got a big leg up with the state government, and I can see that there's opportunities where we can actually piggyback with them as well. Now, there's two factors as well. There's our corporate activities, us, what we do, our fleet, lighting, air conditioning, all that. But then there's the outlook of having a zero carbon community, where we actually expand our scope to pick up businesses and general practices in the community, households. We're not there yet. We need to actually build up our own case to sort our own house out first before we start looking elsewhere. There's a lot of work to do. And I really do appreciate Councillor Appleby's point that there is a difference between energy efficiency and energy production. The two should go hand in hand, ultimately, but first things first, we have got some big catching up to do. The stories I heard interstate were quite amazing, what they're achieving there. They're worlds ahead of us. City of Moreland, in particular in Melbourne, is really advanced. If there was a council to... I could go on. But look, I'm looking forward to talking to staff and putting some time aside to put together a report for what I witnessed in Sydney. I was the only elected member there, which is a bit of an indictment on the subject. But above all, Mr. Mayor, if you are a carbon denier or climate change denier, whatever you want to be, think about the bottom line. Think about the bottom line in terms of savings for this city, because we are actually paying through the nose at the moment for our practices. No two ways about that. So I'll leave it on that point.
Thank you. I think Councillor Hull ended on a very good point there. The debate around climate change is not really about climate change. It's about power and control and preserving profits, and certain industries that preserve it. So if we have a bit of energy independence, whatever we do with the energy, we have, a bit more control and masters of our own domain. Councillor Hull talked a little bit about the LGA funding. We shouldn't feel any guilt at all by taking that money. Zen took $100 or $200 from the money they received from being the preferred supplier for the local government initiative with solar panels and gave that to the LGA. So our ratepayers have contributed if they've chosen Zen over the years that scheme was running. Why I think this is very important for this council is it's your idea. This is something that we as a group came up with through the Stratcom, and people have looked into it, especially the work that Nathan has done is sort of run with it quite a bit. I know Councillor Westwood's been involved and others which I may not be aware of. This is something that we're looking at, and this provides us the chance to see, okay, what are our options? We'll basically look at the how, if, and with whom we proceed down this path. I guess the why, that we've already had that discussion, and that debate could be there all night. So that's why I think that's important. And I'm actually looking forward to what our options can be, and doing the maths on those, and also looking at the triple bottom line. Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move the motion as is, but I would like to add something to it. That would be that Council revisit the issue by the 31st of July 2016. Reassessing, it's probably better I read it out because my writing's shocking. Reassessing any subsequent progress and opportunities that may arise. So that Council revisit the issue by 31st July 2016, reassessing any subsequent progress and opportunities that may arise. So at this point, things are at a certain point. The landscape may change. We may know a little bit more about NBN. Ideally, I'd like to see Wi-Fi access available during operating hours at all of our community centres if we can. Places like that, maybe even sporting clubs, but we do recognise there are some technical issues. So let's not just put it aside, let's look into it. Happy to take some direction on the date from staff if they think that's too soon, push it back a little while. I'm open to that as well.
Just a question.
If I may, sorry. Yes, just a quick reference. I happen to be at the Gold Coast recently, as everyone probably knows. And up there, actually, the council does have Wi-Fi available in certain places, including in a local park. Maybe there are more places than that. And there is a 50 megabyte limit, I think it is. So it really stops people from downloading movies and very big programs. It seems to be a very modern idea, and if we fit into it, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just a question. Could you just confirm where you've got the two locations, Mitchell Park Neighbourhood Centre and the Southern Depot? Is there any plans to actually do those, and is there any reason to do the Southern Depot but with Wi-Fi?
Yeah, thank you, through the Chair. Good question. Certainly, we think it would be beneficial to the community to do the neighbourhood centre, but also totally concur that Southern Depot, there would be no real community benefit. In fact, it would actually raise quite a large risk in terms of people parking there and downloading their Microsoft updates at our expense, which would be a direct cost of council. So certainly your point's valid. The neighbourhood centres, as yourself and Councillor Lescue have raised, certainly had merit. We'll look into those, absolutely. But not the Southern Depot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Telfer.
I've had an instance with the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Centre, which is a sports facility, on the necessity for them to have Wi-Fi so that they can actually do their basic management things and do their financials and so on. So it's brought home to me how important it is that we do progress this and that we do consider more than just our neighbourhood centres.
Thank you. Councillor Gard.
Yes, on the assumption that there is quite a connection between the Wi-Fi facility distribution and the installation of NBN, I'm Just interested in asking management if they could look into where we stand with NBN in the City of Marion at large. Where is the rollout going to start to benefit us and when? It's very hodgepodge. I think there's one or two suburbs that were listed in the press the other day that out of the blue, but there's a very big accent on regional, country regional. So there could be correlation between the two as we get into the project.
That maybe clarify whether the staff were looking at the Southern Depot to have Wi-Fi access for business needs. That might have been why it's considered. I'll start with that and then I'll make a comment.
Thank you, through the Chair. The only reason the capability exists for the Southern Depot is when all the trenching was done to bring the fibres and cables through to the New Cove Civic Centre, is it actually had to go past there. So there wasn't any strategy to have it go past the depot. It was more pure coincidence, and it was actually the best direction to get all the cabling and the fibres through to the Cove Civic Centre.
Something to add as well. Through the chairs, my apologies, I'm trying to get out of something that I guess could have done. I did get an email about the rollout for the City of Marion. The St Mary's build that they've got includes the suburbs of Ascot Park, Melrose Park, Palcombe, Marion, Clovelly Park and Mitchell Park. And the Ranella build includes the suburbs of Hallett Cove and Shido Park, starting towards the end of the year. But they only give a rough idea of when it's going to happen. So what they're doing is they're doing it concurrently, regional and city. And so they'll do a regional area, then they'll do the city. So Marion's pretty well serviced. And pretty optimistic. Yeah.
If Councillor Valescu,
just further on that, obviously the previous government with their rollout, they were looking at all of the Mullawilla ward and I think all of the Southern Hills and possibly other areas. Now obviously they done by the end of this year. Now obviously they would have fallen behind, as has the current government. We at least we're getting some service, and obviously it will be a long process. Preferably we do get fibre to the premises in some way, whether it's the government choosing to pay or private providers. But I guess another consideration is these boxes that are going to turn up, probably about 60,000 across all of Australia. We may get between 200 and 300 based on our population, if we're looking at that. So we probably need to consider how we would manage those. So that's basically the fibre goes to these boxes. They are powered. They pump out the speed through the regular copper wires to get the 25 megabyte speed that we're waiting for. So that's all I really had to add.
Thank you. Favour, raise your hand. That's all those against. That's carried unanimously. And so, I keep saying that, sorry. Carried by majority. So I've got a bit of a blind spot.